January 20th, 2017 will be remembered as the day the people became the rulers of this nation again. We assembled here today are issuing a new decree to be heard in every city, in every foreign capital, and in every hall of power. From this day forward, a new vision will govern our land. From this day forward, it's going to be only America first. We do not seek to impose our way of life on anyone, but rather to let it shine as an example. We will shine for everyone to follow. There should be no fear. We are protected, and we will always be protected. We will be protected by the great men and women of our military and law enforcement. And most importantly, we will be protected by God. We stand at the birth of a new millennium, ready to unlock the mysteries of space, to free the earth from the miseries of disease, and to harness the energies, industries, and technologies of tomorrow. A new national pride will stir our souls, lift our sights, and heal our divisions. Your voice, your hopes, and your dreams will define our American destiny. Together, we will make America strong again. We will make America wealthy again. We will make America proud again. We will make America safe again. And yes, together, we will make America great again. Thank you, God bless you, and God bless America.
Let's go see the elephant! When I'm a roll on a honey.
To the American Adversaries Drive Time Prime Time Show on a Trump 2020 Club Tuesday, and it's a little messy out there, so please be careful if you're out on the roads or heading out onto the roads, because there's a lot of messes about town. We had a hard rain here today, and so just take care, and in the meantime, listen to us, and we'll guide you through the evening. That's right, folks. We're coming to you live from the Relax and Comfort Studios on this Trump 2020 Club Tuesday on AM 660 The Answer, FM 105.5, of course, now on your Alexa devices, and always on AM 660theanswer.com. And, of course, you can still download the free Answer Orlando app. And that, of course, is an interactive app. Okay. All right. We got a big show lined up for you tonight. Back in the studio, fresh off his Vegas adventure, is the man about town. That'd be, of course, the union boss himself.
I don't know if it's fresh off of 7 days out in Vegas in that area, but it truly was an adventure.
Yeah.
You know, I mean,
yeah,
in the sense that, as you know, I went out there for the...
Now, was Carmen with you?
Carmen was with me.
Okay,
and
all
what
right.
This
she
was,
kept your feet on the ground.
Right.
Then.
This was a convention where the current players come in first, and then we cross for 2 days. In the sense that we can exchange ideas and sort of scream and yell what we would like.
Right.
And so we mix with them, and then we finish it off with a few days with, you know, the former players. And during this period of time, you know, Dee Smith, who was head of the union, he has spent a lot of time with the current players because in reality they pay Dee Smith, we don't.
Right.
And then he comes across and then, you know, delivers the good news or the bad news, and then we come back to him and tell him what we're looking for. And, you know, an important function. In
so
the
did
sense
you get
that,
to speak to Dee face to face, man to man?
My first question was, you know, he's talking to the group, and there was like 300 people in the room.
Okay.
Says, and now I'm open for questions. Oh, really? Okay. Hand goes up. Dee, I'm from Florida. We have 20% of all the former NFL players living down in the state of Florida. Unfortunately, many of the guys that are 60, 70, and 80 are struggling, not only financially, but physically. You know, little did they know at the time of participation they would end up being the guinea pigs of professional sports. So what I'm really saying is, where do we stand on this pension increase? Because remember, collective bargaining now could start at any point. So, you know, it could start next week. So don't forget us, because remember, we did start the league. We did start the union. We did start the former players. We marched on all the, picketing increases.
Well, what did he say?
And he sort of went around in a circle.
Oh.
But from some other source, I feel very comfortable there will be a pension increase. And if not, oh, boy, this would get really ugly if not.
Did the kneeling subject come up at all?
No, this was amazing. They stayed as far away from, I would call, race and kneeling as you could. Not one thing was mentioned, one inference, or anything else. It was strictly football business.
Well,
you know, which is was pretty interesting.
Let's see if they can do that in the fall.
Yeah, like I say, my concern with all, you know, is you got ticket sales coming up now because everybody registers their season tickets, and I would keep my mouth shut if I were all of them. And maybe that's the route they're going, because there wasn't one.
All right.
Discussion on that issue.
All right. Did you run? By the way, I am the philosopher, political mad scientist, Christopher Hart. Nick LoCicero, the marathon man, is on the bridge. 407-774-8255 is the number. Did you run into your old buddy OJ there?
Well, this was an interesting story. I had hoped to hook up with the guy, but what happened was, you know, we have meetings in the morning. But if issues come up, then the board meets afterwards,
and
right?
The union boss.
But two of my former Bills players, a guy named Booker Eggerson, who played a long time with the Bills, and Tony Green, who played a long time.
When you guys were there?
When I was there.
With OJ.
They met with him.
Right.
They were picked up at the hotel. We stayed at the Cosmopolitan. A car came by, and it happened to be a Bentley, which is poor OJ's car.
Right.
And they went
over. Now, he wasn't at the wheel, was he?
No.
I didn't figure so.
They were picked up. Yeah. They were taken to his house.
Probably Cato Kalin driving that car.
And I asked him, because I was interested anyway, you know, how'd he act? I mean, what was the interaction between you guys? Obviously, you hadn't seen him for years.
Right.
And, you know, they went into the gated community. They said that they were just estimating. They believe the house probably lived in might be about a $2 million house.
Right.
And
this is on loan from a buddy or admirer of
his. Don't know where he gets the money. We're not sure.
It's on loan from the house. The guy's loaning, quote-unquote, loaning him the house and the car.
And I do believe, obviously, he has some cash flow because he does have a pension, but not to live like that.
Right.
Now, the reality of it is they said they chatted with him a while. His reference to being in jail was camp. You know, he thought camp was not that bad. He was treated very well in jail.
Oh, yeah. He did what they call easy time.
Right. And then what he said, that then they decided to go out to dinner. And, you know, they went back outside the gated community to a restaurant.
Yep.
And this fellow said, you know, it was really unique. He said, I walk in and here comes a whole group of people. Looking for what? Autographs.
Mostly young women, right?
And he said it doesn't change. And he is always, as I've always said, he's very affable. You know, he has a smile. He hadn't lost that. And he's lost a lot of weight. So he sort of looks like, you know, the OJ that we see. And it was a case that he was just amazed how the people just flocked all over him. And, but he said that, you know, it was an interesting experience. He said it seemed like there maybe was some degree of bitterness, but not anything overwhelming. And so in general, he thought it was a pretty good visit. But as you said, it would be sort of awkward when you haven't seen the guy for so long and, you know, the troubles that he has.
So you walk in and say, hey, OJ,
yeah.
Who'd you slash first?
Oh, I know. But it was, I was amazed. I mean, he just said it was like meeting somebody you hadn't seen for a long time, and the conversation went reasonable, not knowing too much about each other other than.
Right, right.
And you had to watch the subjects you would bring up because you didn't want, you know, he must be some degree sensitive.
Yeah, I would imagine.
But he was sort of surprised at the lavishness he lives under. You know, at this point. So, obviously, times have not changed much, you know, in the sense that there's groupies out there. I mean, look at our politicians. Some of the biggest scumbags in the world, and they have groupies. Unbelievable.
Here's the situation. By the way, that voice and the laughter can only belong to Randy Ross.
I just give
Randy
up on
Ross.
I-4. I give up on it. All right, I cannot predict it.
Trump 2020 Club, especially on a day like today.
Messy
out there.
I know. We need the rain, though.
Yeah, we did.
I will give up anything for rain.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. No, he's got these benefactors. And there's even rumors that there are people that are considering paying the Goldmans the settlement to free him up.
And then we'll go.
And because he's worth more money to them as an entertainer again, in essence.
And I will tell you, remember how we talked about
it? You talked about it before, a reality show or something way back when, if he got out of prison?
I believe that the guy would make a fortune because I couldn't believe when Booker told me, he said they walked in the restaurant and immediately people came up to him. They wanted pictures taken with him. Autographs. It's like, what is this?
He's a tourist attraction.
Right. And he's in the right city for notoriety, but for the wrong city, because there's a lot of ways to get in trouble in Las Vegas, I can tell you that. Hopefully he maintains his cool. So we will see.
All right. And in the meantime, the market action, there was a good deal of fluctuating between when you left and today.
Yeah, this was interesting. As you know, Chris, tomorrow they're going to come out, the Fed, with their interest rates call, meaning I think obviously tomorrow they're going to raise rates a quarter point. And Jerome Powell will be out there. The main thing they're going to be looking for, is he hawkish or is he dovish? I think he's going to be a little dovish because the market's been pretty volatile, as I'm sure you're aware of. We were up 120 points today. At the top of the market, we were up 193 points. But I think the reality is, on this tariff issue, the media makes it look so horrible, just like they did the tax cut and everything else. And then they say, well, the economists say this, that's their prediction. Well, you're right, that's their prediction. Just like their prediction was on tax cuts.
About their prediction on the stock market if Trump got elected, right?
So the answer is, why should I pay that much attention to that? Because really, just about every nation in the world other than us is big on tariffs.
Yeah.
Well, why not? If we can do it and I take great
every country
comfort,
in the world imposes tariffs.
And I take comfort in his advisor. I think
Kudlow?
Yeah. Well, Kudlow and then the other older fellow is
Navarro or whatever his name
and
is.
And that old real old guy.
Wilbur Ross.
Wilbur Ross, real old
Sleepy
guy.
Ross.
Yeah, I know. I'm always worried he might pass out at the desk. He seemed to have a pretty good grasp on it, and just as we just said here. Every prediction they made about the economic doomsday never came about, and I just believe that you can do some tariff work, and we need to when we have such a deficit.
They're making the same mistake they've made with Trump all along. They underestimate him, right?
I agree.
They're underestimating his business acumen, and they think that he's a doofus, he doesn't know what he's doing, he doesn't understand tariffs and the effects of tariffs and all of this. Believe me. He understands it much better than these people do. And he knows how to push the envelope to get the results that he wants. And, in fact, every nation in the world imposes tariffs.
Right.
And we are the main focus of them because we are the representation of wealth in the world.
And I think that auto tariff, when they come here, it's 2.5%. We go to China, it's 25%. We go to Europe, it's 10%. What is this deal?
That doesn't even make any sense.
That doesn't make any sense at all.
No.
Either we're going to have fair trade, or maybe we're not going to have that much trade.
Or at least fairer.
Yeah, fairer.
If it can't be equal, at least much more equitable.
American capitalism has built the world, in essence. And the reality of it is that, we don't owe you the world to be fools. As Trump really is getting across, we owe it to do the best we can for the American people.
Right. But from that, the rest of it flows.
Right.
Right. The United States of America is, in essence, the locomotive of capitalism in the world economy. But as it gets weaker and weaker, that can't be good for the world.
It's not good for the world because it's not good for us. Now, one other thing I didn't like, which I saw today, is that You know, the number of PhDs in science from China is twice the number that we have graduating every year from universities, which I don't know if I like that. And I always wonder why that's never brought up, because, you know, if you go to the different major universities in the United States, particularly the ones with the higher reputations, why isn't that part of the bargaining? I go, hey, you know, we're not going to educate all these people. Now, they all need the money.
I was going to say, do you know why the Chinese get the access? Because they pay cash money. They pay cash money. They don't take out loans. They don't mess around with it. They bring cash dollars.
Cash on the barrel.
Cash is king.
You better believe
sometimes
it.
Sometimes you got to be concerned about that. I mean, if their science is advancing faster than ours, we're in a competitive world.
All right. So now, while Mike was out sporting around in Las Vegas last week, Randy was down sporting around in Palm Beach County again, I guess, was it?
It was amazing. And I have a couple people calling in tonight, they're going to call in tonight.
We're going to be talking about that as the night goes along. And once again, you're welcome to join us as well, 407-774-8255. In the meantime, we are going to take a break. We get back, we're going to get to the other two major news stories of today, which would be the Great Mills school shooting, which I believe is the beginning of the end, and I'll tell you what I mean by that. And then this serial bomber in Houston. Yeah. I mean, Austin, Texas. So we got a lot yet to do tonight, and of course it is Trump 2020 Club Tuesday, thanks to Sutherland Nissan. And we'll be right back with more of tonight's show. Please be with us.
FM 105.5 and AM 660. The Answer.
For most Floridians, our home is our biggest investment. If you are shopping for a new home, vacation home, investment property, want to remodel your home, or need to refinance your existing home loan, you need the very best mortgage professionals working for you to make your American dream come true. I'm Mariah Lee with Patriot Home Funding. And regardless of your mortgage needs, Patriot Home Funding has just the right loan for you. All of our loan products offer the lowest possible fixed rates. We don't charge annoying and expensive junk fees, and you get the very best service and care from me and the rest of our experienced all-star team. Contact us today for a quick, easy, and free pre-qualification. You can call us at 877-377-8123 or visit us on the web at myphf.com. At Patriot Home Funding, we finance the American dream.
Patriot Home Funding is a licensed mortgage broker in the state of Florida. NMLS 171699 and is an equal housing lender.
Business owners, this is for you. Competition is tough these days, so you need maximum visibility to stand out in this crowded landscape. And Dino Rento Studios can give you that visibility. Their eye-catching signs, 3D displays, banners, bumper stickers, and car magnets will get your business the attention you're looking for. Dino will also make your convention display the talk of the event. So call Dino Rento Studios at 800-704-7089, 800-704-7089, or visit them at DinoRentosStudios.com. Dino, R-E-N-T-O-S, Studios.com, where they bring ideas to life.
Welcome back to the show, ladies and gentlemen. If you are on the roads out there, take it easy because you're in the danger zone. It's wet and nasty out there, and there are some traffic lights that are down as well. So please be careful. Give yourself plenty of time to get where you're going and take us with you wherever that happens to be. Thanks again for tuning in on a Trump 2020 Club Tuesday. This morning, there was another school shooting. And it happened, it was just south of Washington, D.C., of all places, a school called, I believe it was Great Mills High School. And a kid went in there, and he shot a couple of other students, a boy and a girl, evidently people that he knew. Don't know the details so much about the motivation, but we do know the outcome. And the outcome was the outcome that should have been the outcome in these situations for a long time now. Especially in Parkland, because you had an armed resource officer by himself there who was alerted as to what was happening, And so he wasn't even the first one to know what was going on. Somebody had to find him and tell him.
Right, they brought him over.
Right. And then when they brought him over, he drew his weapon, he went in, and he took care of business.
Right. How many lives do you think he saved, in all seriousness? I mean, many, many. And boy, does that give you a different...
Even if he only saved one, I mean, the idea that this is really what the president's been talking about, you know, the whole concept of this is a perfect example. First of all, the school wasn't hardened. We know that by now. The school grounds.
The kid was able to get in.
Yeah, able to get in is just a problem to begin, you know, but that's something we can hope gets resolved relatively quickly. But the concept of having armed people, armed teachers, armed guards, et cetera, is really part of the solution in this society that we live in today.
It's going to change the dialogue tremendously because look what actually happened. This wasn't a test case or anything else. What would have happened if it were a gun-free zone, no one had any guns? How do you stop that individual that was there firing?
All right, so here's the thing. You're right, it's going to change the dialogue, but I think it's also going to change the equation.
Mm-hmm.
And here's what I mean by that. The kid went in there probably thinking it was a gun-free zone, or that at least he was able going to be able to get off a lot more rounds than he did and do a lot more damage than he did. And when he was approached by the resource officer, who I believe just fired one round. And
sounded like it, right? They weren't even sure in the initial. Did he knock him down or who? But
yeah, yes, right.
I guess it's him.
And that kid, the perp, ended up dying at the hospital. The two kids, yeah, really. The two kids that he shot evidently are still right. In hospital. The girl, I believe, is in serious condition, critical condition. The boy is not as bad, but obviously both been shot. And the school resource officer obviously didn't wait for backup. He didn't hesitate. He went right in and he took care of business.
Unlike the cowards down there.
Right. Exactly.
Down there, whatever it was.
Right. And he has shown the way now. He has shown the way what needs to be done, not just have the officers there, but what they need to do when these situations should they occur. And what I mean, not only does that change the dialogue from all this nonsense that's been going on since Parkland, and you even had these kids on 60 Minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And
then I guess it was, did you watch that? I watched that. I had to watch it, but I didn't want to watch it.
Well, we were doing the show here live, or I probably would have gagged. I could see it, but I couldn't hear it, and that was fine. But they were also this morning on the CBS Morning Show hawking it again, the two main kids.
Well, it's great news to have kids on television doing something like this.
Well,
the problem is they're misinformed.
Yeah, I'm not sure their mindset is in the right direction.
And this morning they were claiming that that the NRA is threatening them.
Oh, please. I don't buy that story.
Oh, they said that on 60 Minutes as well.
Yeah, and of course the reporter doesn't say, what do you mean? You've been receiving death threats? What's going on here? What are you talking about? And if they are receiving any threats, I'm sure it's not coming from the NRA.
From the NRA.
It's probably coming from one of their comrades,
one of their Democratic
to make it
comrades.
Look like they are actually, you know. But you know, in this world, I don't doubt. But the problem is, this is the problem with putting these kids out there like this, okay? They're children, and they're being used as spokespeople for the Democrats and the liberals.
Mm-hmm.
Which, in a way, as I've said, is kind of appropriate because the arguments have always been infantile.
Right.
So why not put a couple of children out there to make them? But the problem is that you're exposing these children to danger, right? In the quest to try to silence the criticism. Oh, lo and behold, don't say anything because it's children. Well, the children are making the same ridiculous arguments that the adults have been making for a long time. And this incident today proves that everything that they've been, all this hogwash, all this hot air they've been talking about, didn't amount to a hill of beans. What amounted to something was what, like Randy was saying, was what the president's been saying, what we've been saying, and that is that you protect the schools just like you would a dog gang bank, right?
And what I'd like to know, I don't know the answer, how many kids were in this school, but it just shows...
A little over 1,000.
Is that right?
Do we know what type of weapon he used?
Which is a...
Do we know?
Medium-level school. But
do we know what type of weapon he used? Because it's getting little media coverage, you see.
Well, you know why. Yeah, right. They tried to... I mean, I was looking like you right away to find out what type of gun did they use, how many kids were in the school, because, again, one guy took that the boy or whoever it was down very quickly.
Very quickly.
But in a big school, you're going to need... three or four because, you know, right. some of these schools have 6,000 kids.
Well, that's where the teachers and stuff
and
come
I
in,
agree.
You see?
It, no other thing is going to protect these kids. Sorry, not
right.
going to work.
It was a good guy with a gun who stopped a bad kid with a gun.
Right.
And by
right.
the way, you know, the weapon really doesn't matter. Everybody makes a big deal out of the AR. A kid could go in there with a Glock, a 9mm right. handgun, and pop out clips and snap them in and blow kids away. He could go in there with a pump shotgun loaded with double-aught buck. And that would blow people's bodies apart.
Yep.
I mean, double-aught buck is a pretty nasty thing, especially up close. It'd be a lot nastier, as a fact, than an AR-15.
So you're a deer hunter, Chris?
That's what I was going to say. Are we going to?
You don't hunt deer with a double-aught buck unless you want to tear that thing asunder.
I know.
Okay? I'm just saying the weapon isn't so much as important as the fact that you had somebody there with one that could stop them. And by the way, they didn't talk about the Utah bombing either, right?
Right.
Okay, we got to take a break. We'll come back on the other side with more of the American Adversaries. Back on the other side with more of the American Adversaries Trump 2020 Club Tuesday.
FM 105.5 and AM 660. The Answer.
With SRN News, I'm Val Dior. The chairman of the U.S. House Homeland Security Committee says he thinks the latest package explosion in Texas will lead to more evidence, hopefully fingerprints and surveillance photos. Congressman Michael McCaul is a Republican from Texas. He's at a White House roundtable discussion today on sanctuary cities. When he spoke, police say they've responded over 1,200 calls since March 12th from people reporting suspicious packages as investigators analyze detonation caps from the few bombs that have already exploded, killing two and injuring several others. The fourth nor'eastern to slam the region in 3 weeks could dump more than a foot of snow in some places. The bulk of the snow and sleet expected to wallop New Jersey, Maryland, Delaware, parts of eastern Pennsylvania Wednesday before heading off to Nantucket early Thursday. And on Wall Street, the Dow ending up 116 to 24,000, 727, NASDAQ up 20, S&P up 4. You're listening to SRN News.
Springtime is here. That means it's time for the 34th annual All British Car Show. Join the Central Florida British Car Club Friday, April 6th, 5:30 p.m. at Fiddler's Green in beautiful Winter Park for a pre-show meet and greet. And on Saturday, April 7th at 9 a.m. in Mead Gardens in Winter Park for the car show and judging. Along with up to 200 British cars, there will be specialty vendors, raffles, silent auction, and valve cover racing. Four Rivers, Jeremiah's, and Tijuana Flats will be there, and admission is free. It's fun for the whole family. So experience a day of British automotive history in picturesque Mead Gardens, April 7th. For more information, email info@allbritishcarclub.com. That's info@allbritishcarclub.com. A member of the British American Chamber of Commerce.
The news stories are alarming. Sexual assault, violence, workers' comp fraud, and drug abuse. And it's happening in the workplace. Last year, a construction worker in Central Florida attacked his boss with a front-end loader and almost buried him alive. And the Pulse nightclub shooter worked as a security guard for a company that knew he was mentally unstable. Hi, I'm Kathy Santomassino with ASAP Programs. If you're a business owner or manager, it's your responsibility to safeguard your employees. Did you know a company can be held liable if an employee does harm to someone? Negligent hiring can result in a company being sued, especially if that company didn't conduct a thorough background check. With Applicant 360 Screening Solutions, you will be able to effectively screen your job applicants and make smarter hiring choices. Don't base your decision on a first impression and a resume. Call me today at 407-702-9511. Call 407-702-9511.
This is Sunny, the California girl, and I've been around a lot of big, hunky, sexy, tough men. I like men like that, but only when they're brainy, like the American adversaries. These guys are sexy and smart.
Oh, boy, we got to figure out a way to wire this place so people can take it.
Oh, that would have been a killer one, wouldn't it? Oh, boy.
All right, welcome back to the American Adversaries Drive Time Primetime Show. Thanks again for tuning in tonight. Once again, we're live in the Relax and Comfort Studios where we're nice and high and dry up here. And, of course, it is Trump 2020 Club Tuesday. And when you're out and about and looking for a new car, please check out the Nissans out at Sutherland Nissan. It's a great dealership out there. They got everything you need. If you got, if you want a Nissan, brand new, pre-owned, they check them out. I mean, nine ways to Sunday, and they'll really work hard to put you behind the wheel and make you a deal that really works for you. They're great folks out there. We really appreciate U.S. Marine sponsoring the show and making it possible for Trump 2020 clubs to be a part of the American Adversaries. So check them out. They're at East Colonial Drive and Chickasaw Trail. The website is OrlandoNissan.com. And don't forget, when you take a test drive in one of their new cars, don't forget to ask for that $25 gift card that'll be coming to you.
That's pretty nice.
Yeah.
It's
a pretty sweet deal.
That's
just lunch. Yeah, it is, man. You buy the car, it's a tank of gas.
There
right?
you go.
I don't know where you buy your gas, Chris. I wish there was.
Well, half a tank.
Really, we got
and
that.
Don't forget to check out those Titan trucks and tell them the Titans of Talk Radio sent you out there. Okay. You got Mike McBath along with Randy Ross, myself, Christopher Hart in the studio. 407-774-8255 is the number. And we were talking about this shooting at this school today in the Great Mills High School, and the appropriate response by the school resource officer, who is a true hero, but was doing what he was trying to do.
This is what was expected, and he did it.
Right, and evidently with one shot, he took down the kid. And I was saying earlier, I do believe that this is, it's not the end of these type things, but I believe it's the beginning of the end. Because if you're a criminal out there now, what happened this time that didn't happen the other times?
Well, I think it reinforces a different conversation. I think it takes it away from those kids saying it's all about guns and the NRA, bad NRA, bad people and all this stuff.
Right.
And it changes it. We get to say, guess what? This is what can happen when you have armed deputies, armed resource officers on campuses.
Yeah, absolutely. It changes the political dialogue. But I'm saying that it's also changing the calculation in the perpetrators' minds out there.
Good.
You know what I'm saying?
Now
they're going to have to begin to think, well, now it's different. I might not be able to walk in there and just do anything I want and then shoot myself in the head.
Don't you hope, though?
They may take me out before I even get in the door. You see, the perpetrator, the criminal mindset is, where is the easiest target? They want to know that before they even go out the door, right? They don't want to put themselves in harm. I mean, this is the illogic of the criminal mind. Committing the criminal act is putting themselves in harm's way. But they think if they calculate enough and they find the easy enough target, it'll be okay.
But do you think that CNN and the rest of these channels are going to really discuss this issue of what this showed today and how it really maybe helped resolve this question that everybody's been leaning the other way? I think they're unfortunately are going to ignore it to a great extent.
I think you're right, and I think it will be. I think it will be a stain on their soul.
Oh, terrible!
That will be very hard to clean. And they can beg for forgiveness and all that all they want, and come to Christ all they want, but that stain is still going to be there.
You would have thought the day that this guy should be an immediate hero. You know, that shot this individual. And just let's watch the next couple
days.
It's
just been the opposite.
Right, just watch the next couple days.
We aren't even hearing much about that.
No,
right.
No. Yep. Even on Fox, there's not much on there. And it should be blaring.
You're
absolutely right. And hopefully it will change the dialogue, and it should change the dialogue. But I also believe, once again, that it's going to begin to change the mindset. I mean, look, this wasn't even a little over a month since the Parkland shooting, and this guy walked in there, and he thought he was going to have his way. Next thing you know, he's dead.
Right.
And as Randy said, we don't know how many lives were saved, but we do know some.
No,
and the two kids he shot, he probably would have finished them off.
Yeah, not to digress, but, I mean, you see that, and then you see the bomb incidents. These are two, I call, killing machines. And, you know, this idea, bad people are bad people. And you just got to be armed. The last thing you want is to be somebody sitting there naive as a duck. And then here we go, bam, whatever way you go down, you're going down. This is just so foolish, having, you know, zones like that, just absolutely foolish.
Right, and then, of course, you do have this Austin bomber.
Oh, boy.
Who they are attributing an explosion, a bomb that went off in a Federal Express processing center there in Texas today to this bomber. Evidently, they have some forensic evidence to lead them to believe so, which would be a change because prior to this, the perpetrator or perpetrators were placing the bombs themselves. But now that they know people are, I guess, watching for them, they decided to use Federal Express, which may lead to, I'm sure that's going to provide clues as well. So hopefully they will trace this bomber or bombers down and capture them before they kill anybody else. No one was killed at the FedEx plant today, but someone very well could have been. It just happened to go off while it was on, I think, a conveyor belt or something like that.
So again, how do we stop bombing? How do we stop, you know, I mean, the answer is, in a society of 320 million people, there's always going to be incidents like this. You just got to sit back, look at the most logical way to resolve this. And I think this shooting today, again, takes the argument so far away from the other group that maybe in its own way, you know, is something that will benefit society more. We'll see.
Well, there was another story that broke today. Our colleague Michael Medved was talking about it earlier. And that was a guy who was going to, he was a 19-year-old kid going to, I believe it was Cambridge University.
Yeah.
And his father had graduated from Cambridge, wealthy family and everything. But he had been thrown out. And evidently he was collecting knives and ammunition and guns. He had a friend of his had bought him an AR-15 because he evidently couldn't buy it himself. Once again. If a bad guy can't get a gun himself, he'll find someone that will sell him one. The problem is that he'll find someone that will provide one somewhere, another bad guy or whatever. But and so a guy at Walmart, the clerk at Walmart who kept selling him these knives and ammunition got a little concerned. I guess maybe the guy maybe acted a little squirrely when he was in there, too. So he called the cops, said you need to check this guy out, provided the police with the information they needed to find the kid, and they found him, and he's now getting mental help. Evidently, they found that he has some serious mental problems. And
you think?
Yeah. So, but there's two examples here that if things go right, that we protect ourselves. That you had the before. Okay, somebody saw something and said something, and this time somebody did something, right? Unlike Broward County and the FBI. And then you had the actual shooting where you had the armed guy stopping the incident. So we have two examples of where if we follow suit and do the logical things, good things result, or at least less bad things result.
You remember, Chris, just a few weeks ago, Kansas University allows their students to carry, and they probably have the least amount of crime and violence of any major university in the country.
What you want to bet.
Is there anything to be derived from that at all?
Just that common sense is
you
still
got it.
Good sense.
Say, yeah, exactly.
You common got sense. It. Common sense makes a lot of sense, and kids aren't going to pull their guns out and start firing at each other.
Do you know what the incidence of murders, armed robberies, assaults, burglaries, and things like this in Australia? Do you know what the rate of those incidents has been doing since they, quote-unquote, bought people's guns from
accelerating.
You better believe it.
Yeah, I would
up
bet
dramatically,
on that for sure.
Up dramatically.
Right.
Armed robberies.
Well, look at our sanctuary
cities. Assaults with guns, right? They're not supposed to have guns.
Yeah.
Of course, you disarm the good people. You turn them in, and the police deserve the citizens' back up as well.
Oh, you're not kidding.
Right? Yep. We can't just all be a bunch of papooses to them, right?
I haven't heard that word in a long time. Papooses.
Pocahontas,
papoose.
She's a squaw.
Oh, yeah.
All right, let's go to Bo on the line. Hey, Bo, how you doing tonight?
I haven't heard that word in a long time.
Hey, you got to turn that radio down on us there, Bo. Don't mess around with us now. All right. Okay, well, I tell you what, let's go back to Bo here in just a second. Let's give him a chance to turn the radio down. But once again, the perpetrators are out there watching this stuff too, right? And that's why I think when something like this happens, it's going to change that mindset a little bit.
Yep.
And if it happens again, it'll change it even more.
But again, I hope there's going to be more and more discussion of what happened today
relative
to what occurred a few weeks ago.
We're going to find out where the media's hearts really are in this one.
Right.
Bo, let's go to you now. How you doing tonight?
Doing fine. Chris, Mike, Randy.
Hey,
I just had a thought. You know how I get after drinking a real great tea? Anyway, guys, seriously. I heard somebody on the news saying, TV or whatever, radio, said something. How can we pay for security guards, or the real deal security, for the school? And I had a thought. You know, we have the Florida lottery, and all this, I'm not sure what percentage goes to education, but maybe they could take a part of that percentage and put it in staffing all our schools, because there must be a lot of money from what I hear, and put real deal cops, security, military, whatever, retired, of course, in the schools, because that would save maybe a lot of our children who could get the benefits of the lottery money going to education. If that makes sense, guys, I'd just like to hear your thoughts. Thanks. Great show.
All right. Thanks, Bo. Appreciate you being out there.
I mean, first of all,
the piece of legislation that the Florida legislature just passed did include some $400 million, I think it was, for school security.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
But also, this is, once again, the genius, if you will, of allowing teachers who are qualified and trained to be your backup as well, because it doesn't cost as much, and they're there all the time.
No, I agree.
You take advantage of them. And in the meantime, they can protect themselves. Why deny them the opportunity to protect themselves if the school district is not going to protect them?
But that is controversial to some extent. I mean, I think that was, this past weekend, obviously, the governor was originally slated to be in the event.
Is that right? The Lincoln
We don't
dinner?
Know the official reason why he wasn't there, but I have a feeling his whole signature on this and how that's impacted, you know, the possibly the Second Amendment, people's feelings about that. I think it's impacted his overall presence in that whole situation as related to, I think there are a lot of people really upset with him on that.
Oh, there's no doubt about it. I mean, there was the good in this bill, which was the security.
Hardening
money,
the schools. That's the biggest thing I think came out of it.
Yeah, it was the $400 million to harden the schools and provide for school security. But then also the so-called Marshall Plan, where it does allow for districts to decide for themselves if they want to allow teachers and, say, principals or whatever to be trained properly, and it lays out the requirements and be armed. That's all good stuff. But he threw in that raising the age.
Well, it's good in a regular, neutral market. When you're in a liberal market like we are in Central Florida, specifically in Orange County, when you're so upside down and you have so many Democrats that support some type of gun control and don't like the concept of hardening the schools and all that, you can have all the wonderful conversations that we want to have. But unfortunately, you got congressmen, women like Val Demings, who's got a event coming up next week where she's going to be talking, she says, both sides of the issue, which is impossible for her to do. So I think you have some concerns about whether or not we can actually do some of the things that are going to be necessary when it comes to hardening the schools because of politics.
In fact, Orange, Seminole, and Osceola school districts have all expressed grave reservations about allowing that to happen.
That doesn't surprise me.
Lake County seems to be more open about it, and that also is quite logical.
Plus the communities
that could change over time, right?
The people used to, like the outside counties, these are people that are hunters or fishermen. They have access to guns. They've worked with guns. They understand guns don't kill people. People kill people. And that's why I think you do see that reaction from the different communities based upon where they live and are located.
I agree.
But if they want to put more police officers in the schools, that's fine, too.
As long as they do it.
Right.
And this can't be a temporary solution. I mean, even during the campaign, we had armed guards in the beginning of the campaign in all of our Florida, Orlando offices.
Oh, yeah.
And we had that paid for, actually, by the Orange County Republican Executive Committee. But they were only willing to do it for a month. So we had 3 months of campaigning left to do, and we were really concerned about our volunteers and such. It sounded great in the beginning, but can it sustain itself? Is there money to sustain it over time? Will they keep it? When everything looks pleasant again and nobody's being shot up or killed or stabbed or blown up, Will they keep it going then? Because that's the time where it needs to stay going. And that's part of the question for me.
Which, once again, is the genius of the Marshall Plan, allowing teachers to be a part of the equation. Because
and incentivizing them for being part of it.
Always be there. And they're going to want to protect themselves. The sheriffs around the country who are offering programs to train teachers can't. They're so inundated with requests, they can't keep up with the demand for these teachers wanting to protect themselves and their students. You know, if there's one person in your life outside of your home that loves you more than your parents and your family and friends or whatever, it's your teacher.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
And that teacher has a family to go home to, too.
Right.
So she wants to make sure they make their way home.
They want to make sure they get home, and they want to make sure every one of their kids gets home as well.
But also,
they're the logical solution to this.
Chris,
and this deputy approved today that it works even with one guy.
One guy. But when I hear that word 400 million, like you say, where will this, in essence, die on the vine? You know, after a period of time, because, again, everybody is so budget-strapped.
Mm-hmm.
Every time we have an incident, somebody will throw a wild figure out there.
Mm-hmm.
That's why, again, I do believe, you know, like your gym teachers, people like that, people that are used to, I call them, maybe a bit more rough life or things, they know how to carry a gun. Come on! You know, don't spend $400 million. You know, you've wasted all that money here on Sunrail. What a waste of money that was.
Oh, I heard that little bald girl that's on the CNN, the student from Parkland, is talking about she's bald. She's got no hair. She even said on 60 Minutes. Do you know what she said? Listen. Do you know what she said on 60 Minutes? And she said, well, how do you want to be, the reporter says, how do you want to be, how will people remember you? My hair. She said her hair. I was just sitting there thinking, this is the same person arguing for this. Here's her point. Will the gun that the teacher...
You know what? That was probably the most accurate thing the kids ever said,
but
right?
Her comments were, you know, where does the gun stay when class is going on? Is it on the person? Is it locked up? Is it not? I thought to myself...
What a stupid question.
Those aren't your questions to ask.
Well,
I don't believe those are your questions. I believe that's a question for the school system and our police force to decide what is the best way to handle it. I just didn't understand how, you know, this is the person who said the most important way to remember her is because of her bald head.
Right, yeah. She is...
She said that on... I'm not making
Randy,
that
but you
one
know,
out.
All these commentators, I wonder how many... I mean, I can remember at 12 years old, I used to go hunting. And we knew how to handle guns. We knew how to clean them. We knew how to take them apart. We knew how everything. And we also respected them. And there's plenty of people around out there. These nimble brains that are on TV, I guarantee you 99% of those people on CNN, MSNBC have never handled a gun or walked in, shoot straight or anything else, and fired a gun. What is all this commentary that we listen to and you people don't have any clue what's going on?
And yet they are all protected by people with weapons.
I know, that's the worst part about it.
You know, the irony when they had that little walkout, the initial walkout on the 14th for the so-called 17 minutes, you had the 17, they were able to cram into 17 minutes, Chuck Schumer, Bernie Sanders, Nancy Pelosi, and others who spoke at the Washington, D.C. rally.
Mm-hmm.
And it was funny because it was, of course, this was on Facebook and Twitter. As Bernie Sanders and these folks were being led through the crowd, who was leading them through the crowd? Armed police officers, right?
It's terrible.
Just it doesn't even make any sense.
And that's the bottom line, is it doesn't make any sense. But the kid was expressing, you know, what she was trying to put into people's minds, the imagery that our schools are going to be turned into armed camps or something like that.
See, that's from somebody who's never handled guns, understands guns.
From somebody who schooled this kid on what to say.
Oh, of course.
Absolutely.
All right, because this is
politically coached.
What we're seeing here is a very sophisticated and well-planned form subliminal suggestion.
I agree
100%. Okay? The kid is innocent. So you better listen to his argument.
Right.
This is the subliminal message here.
Yeah.
The kid is innocent. You better not argue with the kid. The kid is innocent. You better go easy on the kid.
Oh, now
all of
and
this
also
is included in the argument, you
and
see.
Their new threat is, we will be voting next year or in 2 years. So they're threatening all the politicians. And all these politicians have come to them, and they don't want any politicians in their camp because they want to be able to do this without them. Listen, that's not really the way to get it done, folks. You got to work in partnership, not as a polarized alliances.
Well, let's hope they say they stay away from the polls as much as they stay away from good common sense. But that's a threat that's thrown around easily. Let's see if they can produce on it. But the bottom line is the millennials are surpassing the baby boomers as the largest voting bloc,
right,
as we enter into this fall.
And you see more and more millennials swinging to the Republican side because, yep, as you go to work, as they are now, you know, there are jobs available. They do want to climb the ladder. And now that they've seen a tax cut, something real in their pocket, I believe we're on the right track. I think the millennials are going to come through before it's over.
Most of these millennials, the only world that they've known outside their
right
home life has been Obama land.
Right.
Okay? Obamanomics, Obama everything. That's all they've really known. Mm-hmm. Now they're getting a taste of something different. And at first they don't like it, but it's going to grow on them.
Yeah.
All right, and I hope we're growing on you. We're going to take a break, though, and come right back. And we got Thursday's contest challenge
for you
here tonight. So get those pencils and pens or whatever ready out there so you can begin to plot and plan your contest entry. So please don't go away. We'll be back with more of the Trump 2020 Club Tuesday version of the American Adversaries Drive Time Primetime Show.
FM 105.5, AM 660, The Answer.
We here at the American Adversaries Radio Network are blessed to have great sponsors like Jerry and Jana Shepherd, owners of Jerry's Mercedes-Benz Service Center. And if you have a Mercedes-Benz, you've been blessed to have them as your dealership alternative. With their professionalism and expertise and state-of-the-art technology and facilities, they provide the best of service at the best price. Now, if you have a BMW, you have the same opportunity to have that friendly and reliable and affordable alternative to your dealer. Just like Mercedes-Benz owners who have taken advantage of this option, you BMW owners have a real alternative to high dealer prices and impersonal service. Jerry's MB is located just off Alafaya Trail, just north of UCF. So take that BMW to Jerry's, where they treat you and your car like royalty. Visit them at jerrysmb.com or call 407-366-6499. That's 407-366-6499. Jerry's MB is a proud sponsor of the American Adversaries Radio Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, we all know that one of the biggest investments we'll make in life is the house we choose to make our home. So why make this investment without knowing exactly what you're getting into? That's where Aubrey Kahn of Firm Foundation Home Inspections comes in. He'll make sure that excitement over the purchase of a house or rental property or commercial property doesn't turn into a nightmare after you take the keys. To get the most thorough and complete inspection, go to OrlandosHomeInspector.com or just call Aubrey Kahn at 321-624-0254. Don't roll the dice on your home purchase. Remember, call Aubrey Kahn at 321-624-0254.
Show, ladies and gentlemen, the boss man is back in town. That, of course, be the union boss man, Michael McBath, and he's got a contest challenge.
That was an appropriate record for the challenge. And the challenge this
record,
week.
Now we know how old he is.
The record,
wow.
Recording, video.
The millennials actually are out there going, what record?
You know,
he's got
a
record?
Not really. Isn't that the truth, you know? But our contest this week is very simple. We know we have a big summit coming up with Trump and Little Kim. And what we want from you is to let us know where you think they should have the summit, what city, what country, and but most important of all, name two people that you think should go along with Trump as consultants, because we want this to be perfectly done. Now, my suggestion is maybe we have the summit in San Francisco. Why? Because I believe when Little Kim walks outside and slips in a pile of human feces, he will probably see how close our nations could be. Now, as for the two people that I would suggest bringing along, I think one is quite obvious. I think Trump should bring Stormy along because she has exactly what Kim's probably looking for. And then the other one I think he ought to bring along is Comey.
Yeah, Comey.
And I think he'd be terrific because you need a professional liar, somebody who's a storyteller. So, you know, I got too, that might help Trump with our friend Little Kim.
And so, Comey is really tall, so yeah. He'd be looking down on the looking rock.
He really looked like Little Kim.
He said, let me put my drink on your head there.
That's
right?
Yeah, I'll have a double. You know what I mean? But yeah, that's right. He has those two little puffs up. You could probably put a double on his head.
Yeah.
You know
wow.
what I mean? But
little,
the answer
plate
is
of shrimp.
And so could Stormy.
Yeah, actually, you're right. So that's my two consultants for Trump.
Can I say
and
that
San
on the radio?
Yeah,
you
the
just
city.
Don't go any further than that.
Yeah, like, I mean, you're hanging on the edge. You know? But I think it should be fun. So come up with your city. Come up with your two consultants.
And that is for Thursday's contest.
Yep.
And
big prizes.
Got a big prize package lined up for you. By the way, when we come back in the next hour, we're going to be talking about Randy's great adventure down in Mar-a-Lago for the Lincoln Day Dinner.
Palm Beach County.
Palm Beach County, yeah. Lincoln Day Dinner, that is.
And we're going to have a couple of people calling in that were part of the visit we actually got to hang out with and drive James O'Keefe around.
Project Veritas.
Yeah. He's amazing.
Were you looking around in the car for where the bugs were?
No, it was my car, actually.
So I
even got a selfie with him.
Oh, cool.
No, he was a great guy.
All right, we'll be
my friend
about,
Leland's going to be calling him.
Okay, we'll be talking about that in the next hour of the show and revealing the date that we're going to do a Relax and Comfort remote broadcast, and you're going to be invited. Big deal.
And
we'll
I can
be
win
back.
Something, too?
You could. Not you. No, we'll be back.
January 20th, 2017 will be remembered as the day the people became the rulers of this nation again. We assembled here today are issuing a new decree to be heard in every city, in every foreign capital, and in every hall of power. From this day forward, a new vision will govern our land. From this day forward, it's going to be only America first. We do not seek to impose our way of life on anyone, but rather to let it shine as an example. We will shine for everyone to follow. There should be no fear. We are protected, and we will always be protected. We will be protected by the great men and women of our military and law enforcement. And most importantly, we will be protected by God. We stand at the birth of a new millennium, ready to unlock the mysteries of space, to free the earth from the miseries of disease, and to harness the energies, industries, and technologies of tomorrow. A new national pride will stir our souls, lift our sights, and heal our divisions. Your voice, your hopes, and your dreams will define our American destiny. Together, we will make America strong again. We will make America wealthy again. We will make America proud again. We will make America safe again. And yes, together, we will make America great again. Thank you, God bless you, and God bless America.
Let's go see the elephant! When I'm a road runner, honey.
Number two of the Trump 2020 Club Tuesday version of the American Adversaries Drive Time Now Prime Time Show, coming to you live on FM 105.5 and AM 660. The Answer from the Relax and Comfort Studios. Thanks so much for being out there with us on this wet Tuesday. And tomorrow's the first official day of spring. It's the spring equinox. Well, so happy first day of spring early.
It's great for us down here. I wonder if you believe that if you're in Massachusetts, Vermont, Maine. Not.
Pretty nasty up there.
Not good.
All right, we are here live on FM 105.5 and AM 660. The Answer. In the studio, of course, is Randy Ross of the Trump 2020 Club. We'll be talking about some Trump 2020 Club business here shortly. And the union boss has been in the studio tonight, of course, back from doing union boss business in Las Vegas, of all places.
I know, city of sin.
Yeah, and I understand they've started using again the happens in Vegas stays in Vegas.
It's usually just your money that stays in Vegas. You know? It happens.
Sometimes
you lose
your reputation too.
Oh,
I guess, right?
But I couldn't believe though, Chris. We talk about Trump prosperity, but I've been out there a number of times, have seen so many people out there at one time, you know, walking the streets, spending massive money. All the restaurants were literally booked, and I mean the high up ones,
which
where
is
you're
interesting
paying huge
because
dollars.
Actually, the gambling is down. The actual gambling itself.
Yeah.
Well,
maybe I mean, they're just spending, and you know, all the stores there are, you know, there's no discount stores or anything there. You walk into a Rolex store or anything like that, I mean, I'm sorry, there's no discounting, and they just roll out the product, you know. But good for America.
Yeah, all right, that's Mike McBath. I am Christopher Hart. Nick LoCicero's on the bridge, 407-774-8255 is the number. Want to go through some news here, and then we'll get to the Trump 2020 Club stuff. There has been another school shooting today. This one was stopped, however, by the school resource officer. I've got a few more details. There was a 17-year-old kid. I don't like to say these kids' names. A 17-year-old kid went into the school and shot a 16-year-old girl and another 14-year-old boy. Evidently, the perpetrator, there are indications he had a prior relationship with the girl. Don't know how the boy figures in this, except that he was perhaps collateral damage and the first of what could have been many. The school resource officer was notified. He went immediately to the scene, drew his own weapon, and engaged the shooter. The school resource officer's name is Blaine Gaskell, Deputy Blaine Gaskell, and he engaged the shooter, and they don't know actually if he shot the shooter, if the shooter shot himself when he saw the deputy coming. It was simultaneously, evidently, right. Their weapons went off. Nonetheless, the perpetrator was wounded, taken to the hospital. When they take the bullet out of him, they'll be able to tell whose it was. He was at the hospital. He died. The 16-year-old girl's in critical condition. The 14-year-old boy is in stable condition. The girl is in the ICU with life-threatening critical injuries. And he had a handgun. Randy, you had asked earlier.
Yeah,
he was using a handgun. It doesn't say what type of handgun here. But the bottom line is any kind of gun, when people don't have anything to fight back with, is going to be a very, very lethal weapon for a lot of people.
One thing, because it's too early, we still haven't got the parents' report, if he had parents. And didn't anybody, again, notice anything strange? I guess it's too early in the
The FBI be called on it before? You never know.
And let me remind you of one of the details. He was a 17-year-old boy. Now, how many 17-year-old boys can go purchase a handgun?
I'd say none.
Right, but the 17-year-old boy had one.
Right.
He got it somewhere.
Right, exactly, which once again goes to underline what we were talking about a great deal in the first hour of the show. All of this bloviating and hot air that we've been hearing since Parkland doesn't amount to squat, okay? You can go raise the age.
Doesn't mean anything.
You can take away the AR-15s. He used another gun. The only thing that stopped this kid was the deputy who approached him with his own gun and exchanged fire with him. And if the kid didn't kill himself, the deputy killed him.
The other question is, which they never bring up, how many kids were killed in Chicago this weekend?
Great point. It's a great point.
They dance all around. And, oh, by the way, what did we lose, another 11 or 12
this
weekend?
How many kids were killed by texting and driving today?
And by guns that weren't even registered.
Well, and in Chicago, of course, they have the most stringent gun control laws in the country.
But you don't know.
Right? But this deputy, as I said earlier, I do believe he's changed. This changes the dialogue, even if it's somewhat, because of the lack of attention that's getting in the mainstream media. But also, I believe it changes the equation in future shooters' minds, because now they have to you know, think that maybe
you may pay the price.
Right.
Yep.
And so this deputy might not have just saved kids' lives today. He may say have saved kids' lives that
you're not kidding.
We'll never know.
And more importantly, he might have helped us to start or actually perpetuate a conversation that armed teachers, armed guards, the Marshall Program you spoke of, that works. It
right.
works. And instead of two, it could have been 10.
Right. Exactly.
You think they'll have a march for kids?
Easily.
I don't think they will.
By
the
way, there'll be a march for this?
By the way, remember when those two kids...
I
get these confused, but the two kids who shot up the school out in, I want to say Colorado, they were armed with handguns.
Right.
Right?
And
they killed dozens and shot dozens.
That gets no attention.
Right. The bottom line is, it's not so much the weapon as the defenselessness of the victims.
Individuals that are caught.
Right.
Yep.
I mean, we talked about this. There was a shooter in England. This was 2 or 3, maybe 4 years ago now, where he was wandering the streets for hours because the police didn't have guns to stop the guy with.
Horrible.
You wonder why somebody didn't run him over with their car or something, but of course they didn't want to get shot through the windshield.
But I mean,
unless you're a kamikaze, you don't want to be shot.
Right.
I don't care if you're a killer or not. Who wants to be shot?
You're going to tend to go away from
exactly.
the shooting, not toward
exactly.
it.
I mean, the real question,
you don't
Chris,
have any other choice.
Even with these politicians, all you ask the question is, if somebody broke in your house and you had no gun, how comfortable are you?
Yeah.
Well, you know,
nobody.
I'd be scared of that.
You know, it's ironic. Even some of those kids from Parkland have been on CNN and everything else. They remind you that their parents have guns in their households and that if you came in their house, it would be okay. So, but uniquely, as a soft target sitting in a school, they don't understand the need to have a gun to protect them in that environment.
Yeah. Well, they're being taken advantage of.
Yeah, they're being manipulated.
Exactly. And it's cruel and exposes them to dangers and to future psychological issues. For having been talking, running their mouths, speaking foolishness in front of millions of people. Can you imagine having to deal with that if they ever do wake up?
One of these days they will. And that'll be a great news story.
Yeah.
It won't be covered.
No, it won't.
And how's it going to be a news story, Randy?
When they come around, they're like, hey, wish we had guns the whole time.
And they'll be all frustrated. Why don't you want to hear my story now?
Yeah, exactly.
Right, because it ain't the one they want to hear. That's right. And there was another bombing in Austin, Texas at a FedEx processing facility, which indicates that whoever that bomber is now upping their game a little bit, but in the process may have exposed them to, let's just say there's more going to be more possibility of more clues now that they used FedEx rather than delivering the bomb themselves.
If they went in, they walk in with a package?
Most of the places you drop a FedEx package off, you think there's cameras
anything?
Or something.
There will be some kind of trail. It may lead to a dead end, but there will be some kind of trail depending on how they did it, whether they dropped it in a box on a street corner or if they took it to a facility.
Fingerprints?
Right. Those things, now that they've done something different, which will make it a little bit, let's just say, not easier to catch them, but now maybe there'll be more information to deal with to possibly catch them. In the meantime, the president tweaked the media's nose today by revealing that he called President Putin of Russia to congratulate him on his re-election.
Oh, I think that's funny. Can you see that going through?
Did you see Mark Nijem, the local attorney, his response on that? He just lost it. He had a total meltdown over that
one. He's a big-time liberal. For such a little guy, he's a big liberal, I tell you what. But John McCain lost it, too. So he's got some Republican company. John McCain is, you don't congratulate dictators on rigged elections. Well, we were about ready to congratulate Hillary Clinton on the rigged election, right? She rigged it against Bernie Sanders.
And the fireworks were ready. The balloons were ready. Everything was ready for that one.
She came closer to turning our government over than Putin did.
That's
so
true.
What's the problem?
Right.
Yeah.
And by the way, Jim Kallstrom, we spoke about this a little bit on Sunday night show. He was the deputy director of the FBI. He was also the lead investigator over that Flight 800 or whatever that plane was that went out of New York and supposedly was shot down. It just blew up in the air. He has come out over the weekend saying that there's no question in his mind that there was a conspiracy amongst the highest levels of the Obama administration, the Justice Department, the FBI, to rig the election against President Trump. And then once he won, to take it away from him. Now, this is a little bit different than us saying it here, and we've been saying this for quite some time.
Now, I was going to say, Chris, could you honestly say that you feel Obama's involved?
Well, in the sense that he was behind the political machinations. Yeah, right. No question about
it. Randy, you believe he's involved, right?
I have no clue, honestly. I'm not quite sure about that.
You don't think he's involved?
I don't know what to believe anymore when it comes to that.
I don't know how this could all go and he doesn't know.
Well, let me just say this. I do believe Obama had far more to do with this than what we think. The question is, involvement is really a danger. A lot of people know how to put their fingers in a lot of things and never leave fingerprints.
Right.
I think Obama is
right.
One of those people.
Yeah, he'll always have plausible deniability.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But it was a great deal of this past election was his operation. The Fusion GPS.
Right.
Fusion GPS he had hired back in 2012 to get dirt on Mitt Romney and had been using them ever since to get dirt on congresspeople. And who knows what they're holding over
that's
some of these people's
heads. That's a good point.
Right? And then of course their Facebook networking and all of that sort of stuff was a part of it too.
But don't you believe sometimes that conversation about Facebook really allows us all to find a level of connectivity, so it brings it down to our level? Sometimes even that conversation, I think, is a bit manipulative. I don't know that I'm gonna quite buy into it. I know they say it's there. I know they say it is existing. And as a person who's on social media far more than I should be, I don't want to think that I was that influenced by something other than my own influence to begin with. Does that make any sense?
People who are decisive, okay, are not the ones they're looking for to influence.
They're looking for the vulnerable.
Right. They're looking for the fence sitters. Okay, the ones that if they can say one little thing that they like, they know they can influence them.
Gotcha.
And they can figure these things out. So if you're decisive, if you know what your principles are, your feelings are, and things like that, they're not looking to affect you. They're not going to waste their time on you. They're going to go for the ones who they think they can, you know, manipulate. Right. Unfortunately, that's the weaker of mind and who tend to be more of the liberal side and a lot of moderates. Not because they're weak of mind, but probably more lazy of mind would be the way to put it. Okay, they just don't want to get involved in stuff like this. Too much work, you know, too divisive and all that sort of thing. So, so Putin thanked Trump, and Trump talked about actually getting together and meeting with old Vladdy Putin. Meanwhile, we mentioned Facebook. The Federal Trade Commission is looking into Facebook to see if they have been misusing people's private information.
Yeah, that's definitely a big deal.
This has come out because of this Cambridge Analytica business, which we've talked about.
The other thing, Chris, we talked about with Facebook, you know, the stock dropped over 40 billion in capitalization in the last 2 days.
You're kidding.
You know, it's down over 16 points. And primarily the reason is, again, you're getting closer and closer to some form of regulation, both in England and other places in the United States. Zuckerberg, you better get into Congress and start dancing, because I'm not sure how long you're going to go without your enemies, because people get very jealous, right? You're talking a lot of money. But $40 billion, bye-bye, unless the stock bounces back.
Well, I was going to say, that's the bad news, $40 billion down the drain temporarily anyway. Mm-hmm. The good news is that's not even 10% of the value of the company. And it might actually be a buying opportunity.
Yeah.
You might want to wait another day or two.
Bitcoin.
Yeah, there you go.
That one tanked the other day, and I think it's up around the 8,500s right now.
Yeah, if you can play that volatility,
though. Yeah, you want to play it.
Speaking of volatility, you know, income inequality was a big issue the other day for Bernie Sanders,
Pocahontas,
the squaw,
right.
And Michael Moore, of all people. They were all sitting there talking about income inequality. Now, between them, they all have like about a dozen houses.
Yeah, what they do, they
that
actually have
nuts.
13 houses.
Yeah.
They have a net worth between the three of them of $63 million, and they're talking about income inequality and how they can help through their political platforms.
I was asking you during the break, how do people that make $200,000 become so wealthy in politics like that, exactly?
You know, I know somebody who needs a little extra income right now because they just got fired and who could write a book on this because he did it. That'd be Andrew McCabe. He did. He turned an FBI salary into a fortune of well over $10 million, sports to work every day in a Porsche.
Oh, really? And you feel bad about
that's an Audi. It's a $300,000 Audi. That's what it was.
And I mean, think of the money though that Comey's going to make. He's going to be in TV programs. He's going to be.
Now I'm talking about McCabe.
Oh, I know, but I'm just thinking. Look at what all these characters. I mean,
What about the ones like Pelosi and even
contracts
Bernie.
And real estate?
Harry Reid.
Yep, Harry Reid. I mean, imagine if that's another thing out of Las Vegas. You should see the taxation.
It's the same thing, here with terrible. County commissioners.
Yep.
Okay, who approve roads or developments in areas where they just happen to have a parcel or a friend who has a big parcel of land.
I've seen that now.
Right? And you're getting ready to open this big, nice, long stretch of road right up here in Seminole County. Right. I wonder just how many commissioners might own a little piece of land along that thing up there.
Oh, I agree. Right? And I mean, I don't know if it was Feinstein or Pelosi or one of them. They got a percentage of every government post office that was sold in commissions. I mean, this is what these people do.
Jeez.
They take advantage of...
They take advantage of naivety. We don't know what's going on. And, you know, the American people pay direly.
All right. By the way, we'll be talking about this a little bit more as the week progresses. But we'll be talking about Whitey, Bobby, and the Boston mob.
Oh, wow.
Okay. I remember Whitey.
What's you remember happening? Whitey Bulger?
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Okay. And he was on the lam for like 15, 17 years or whatever it was there.
And his girlfriend.
You know that he worked for Herr Mueller?
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Consultant?
you might say that.
In his own way.
He was an informant.
Uh-huh.
And he was working with the FBI when Herr Mueller was a prosecutor in Boston. Up your old way up there, Nick. Yeah, up your neck of the woods. Herr Mueller was a federal prosecutor in Boston before he became the FBI director.
Mm-hmm.
And he presided over a number of cases there that involved the Boston mob. And Whitey Bulger was one of the main culprits and informants for the FBI. And there were some shenanigans, you might say, that happened in the prosecutor's office, which allowed Whitey to escape. They were going to actually go ahead and arrest him. Somebody tipped him off out of the prosecutor's office, and he was on the lam for 16 years.
Really?
Yeah.
What type of shenanigans were these?
Well, we'll get into that later on in the week. But
like a stormy type?
It'll be the ongoing saga of Whitey, Bobby, and the Boston mob. And then finally, another football league has announced going up against the XFL of all things.
This is really amazing. Actually, it came out today, I think. Dick Ebersol, who was a big part of television and announcing and sports, ESPN, et cetera. He was the partner of Vince McMahon when they did the original XFL. Well, he has split from Vince McMahon. He is going to open the league up next February. And what they're going to do, he has some major financial backing. Bill Polian, who is a big-time personnel guy in the NFL, he's joined them. And they plan to, if I were betting my money, I'm going to bet both of these things. I'm going to go short because I just don't know how you sell something that's not the NFL. And as much as I would like to see more jobs and more people have opportunity, but the problem is it's like the solar bores. You know what I mean? I think these fellows that play are very good, exciting. But in my own mind, I still go minor league, minor league, minor league.
Yeah.
And that makes it so hard to generate crowds of 12, 15, 20,000 you need to survive.
And this is from the guy who used to generate crowds.
Didn't you own a football team?
But the one thing we did, we never tried to compare ourselves. You know, arena football, the war on the floor, the 50-yard indoor war.
Oh, it was definitely unique.
Sold
it was different.
The NFL.
Yeah.
But these people are going to be trying to go that route, and I think, good luck. Oh, boy, I hope. But they plan to start up a week after the Super Bowl next year, and then the XFL plans to start up a year after that. So if you're not that good a football player, there's going to be some pretty good jobs around. So here we go again. Trump stimulated the economy. Two more legs.
Sure enough. All right, we're going to take a break. We come back. We got Frank on the line. And in the next half hour of the show, we're going to talk about Trump 2020 business and what happened at the Lincoln Day dinner this past week in Palm Beach
County. Absolutely. Can't wait.
All right. So stick around for more of the American Adversaries on a Trump 2020 Club Tuesday brought to us by Sutherland Nissan. That's OrlandoNissan.com.
FM 105.5 and AM 660. The Answer.
Springtime is here. That means it's time for the 34th annual All British Car Show.
Join the Central Florida British Car Club Friday, April 6th, 5:30 p.m. at Fiddler's Green in beautiful Winter Park for a pre-show and meet and greet. And on Saturday, April 7th at 9 a.m. in Mead Gardens in Winter Park for the car show and judging. Along with up to 200 British cars, there will be specialty vendors, raffles, silent auction, and valve cover racing. Four Rivers, Jeremiah's, and Tijuana Flats will be there, and admission is free. It's fun for the whole family. So experience a day of British automotive history in picturesque Mead Gardens, April 7th. For more information, email info@allbritishcarclub.com. That's info@allbritishcarclub.com, a member of the British American Chamber of Commerce. Welcome back to the show, ladies and gentlemen. He was buried in a very special way in that Cadillac coffin. Of course, Willie the Wimp was a real Chicago mobster, and he was buried in a coffin that looked like a Cadillac.
Oh, boy.
And he had $100 bills tucked between each of his fingers there.
You think they'll bury Al Sharpton that way?
I don't know.
You know, boy, he's stolen enough money from the American
people. All right,
people.
Let's go to Frank before we got to take a break again. Frank, how you doing? Go ahead. You're on. Thanks for calling.
Hey, guys. I apologize if this call drops. I'll call you right back. So,
go ahead.
What's up, Union Boss?
Hey, Frank, I guess one reminder to you. Did you see the wrestling Penn State? Six or seven out of the last 8 years won the national championship, and Ohio State was right behind them.
The Big Ten is the wrestling conference of the country, buddy. Yes, sir. Absolutely. We got some boys, too. No, I was watching that. I did. I enjoyed the heck out of that.
No, it was good.
All right, go ahead, though. Go ahead.
Okay. So, them guys are driving all in fancy cars. I'm driving a Rolls Canardly. You know, it rolls down the hill, Canardly, make it up there on the side. You know? And then Trump called Putin, and Lindsey Graham is saying that's an impeachable offense, is what I heard. So,
yeah, I wouldn't doubt it.
So look, I think it's time for a five. It's five. We got a girl in critical. Little girl, and we got a bomber, Alana Luce, in Texas, right?
Yeah.
And, you know, some of you listeners know about this.
All right, I'll tell you what, you're going to have to hold it right there, Frank. Don't have enough time in this segment. All right, we'll come back. I know where he's going with this, and I think he's a good idea. So we'll be back with more of the American Adversaries Drive Time Primetime Show on a Trump 2020 Club Tuesday. Got some 2020 Club Tuesday. Got some 2020 Club business to talk about, too.
FM 105.5 and AM 660. The Answer.
With SRN News, I'm Val Dior. The system worked as designed, says Maryland Governor Larry Hogan, after a school shooting this morning has left a 16-year-old girl in critical condition, a 14-year-old boy injured as well at Great Mills High School. There would have been more injured, he says, if an armed school resource guard had not shot and killed the 17-year-old shooter. That school guard is an off-duty local police officer and was not injured. Four explosions in and around Austin, Texas this month, leading to two deaths and several others have been injured. The San Antonio PD says Chief William McMahon apparently misspoke at a news conference earlier, and that there was only one package bomb at the Church FedEx facility, the one that exploded earlier today. That package bomb was addressed to an Austin home, which is about an hour and a half from Church. And a Minneapolis police officer who shot and killed an unarmed Australian woman in July after she called 911 to report a possible crime behind her house has been charged with murder and manslaughter. This is SRN News.
Nearly everyone loves Italian food. But those people who love true, authentic Italian go to Cafe Positano. It's because owner and chef Pasquale Barba offers home-cooked food from his hometown, Positano, Italy. He is Italian. Local fresh items are combined with rare ingredients imported only from Italy, along with generations-old family recipes. Whether it's pizza or those delicious daily specials, taste for yourself. At Cafe Positano, 4 miles west of I-4 on 436. 407-774-8080. The most authentic Italian food in Central Florida.
For most Floridians, our home is our biggest investment. If you are shopping for a new home, vacation home, investment property, want to remodel your home, or need to refinance your existing home loan, you need the very best mortgage professionals working for you to make your American dream come true. I'm Mariah Lee with Patriot Home Funding. And regardless of your mortgage needs, Patriot Home Funding has just the right loan for you. All of our loan products offer the lowest possible fixed rates. We don't charge annoying and expensive junk fees, and you get the very best service and care from me and the rest of our experienced all-star team. Contact us today for a quick, easy, and free pre-qualification. You can call us at 877-377-8123 or visit us on the web at myphf.com. At Patriot Home Funding, we finance the American dream.
Patriot Home Funding is a licensed mortgage broker in the state of Florida. NMLS 171699 and is an equal housing lender.
The news stories are alarming. Sexual assault, violence, workers' comp fraud, and drug abuse. And it's happening in the workplace. Last year, a construction worker in Central Florida attacked his boss with a front-end loader and almost buried him alive. And the Pulse nightclub shooter worked as a security guard for a company that knew he was mentally unstable. Hi, I'm Kathy Santomassino with ASAP Programs. If you're a business owner or manager, it's your responsibility to safeguard your employees. Did you know a company can be held liable if an employee does harm to someone? Negligent hiring can result in a company being sued, especially if that company didn't conduct a thorough background check. With Applicant 360 Screening Solutions, you will be able to effectively screen your job applicants and make smarter hiring choices. Don't base your decision on a first impression and a resume. Call me today at 407-702-9511. Call 407-702-9511.
Do you suffer from back pain? Have trouble sleeping? Do you ever wish you could get a truly great night's sleep or have your own massage on demand? For 51 years, Relax and Comfort has helped people sit, sleep, and feel better every day. See why ABC, CBS, and Fox are talking about the new X10 bed. It's the perfect marriage of a Sleep Number bed and a Tempur-Pedic bed. Its cool gel memory foam comfort layers are totally adjustable from ultra soft to ultra firm for each side. Add a zero gravity base and you'll have hundreds of healthy and relaxing positions for you and your partner. Save thousands over the leading national brands. With the sustainable X10 design, you'll never need to buy another bed. Get the world's best adjustable beds and massage chairs at no interest, 0% financing. That's less than $5 a day to own. Relax in Comfort, family owned and operated over 50 years, has stores in Winter Park, Sanford, Windermere, and the Villages. And remember to enter the free drawing for a Human Touch iJoy massage chair. It's amazing how lifelike these chairs feel. Learn more, visit relaxandcomfort.com. Call 321-329-3118. That's 321-329-3118.
Here comes on a B-Bay. Champion Johnny B. Bad. It's a good day to be a bad man, but it's even a better day to listen to the American Adversaries. And you better listen. Don't let me come and get you, because it's going to be a blessing to teach you a lesson.
Oh, yeah.
Johnny B. Bad. All right, welcome back to the show, ladies and gentlemen. That's right. You got us on a Trump 2020 Club Tuesday here, coming to you from the Relax and Comfort Studios. 407-774-8255 is the number. Mike McBath in the studio, of course, Randy Ross of the Trump 2020 Club, and you too can join the Trump 2020 Club. Tell them real quick how to do it, Randy.
Trump 2020 Club on Facebook, or you can email us at trump2020club@gmail.com.
All right, it's just that easy. All right, I am Christopher Hart. Nick's on the bridge. 407-774-8255 is the number. We want to talk about something that you and a couple of club members were doing this past week. But first, we had Frank on the line, and I know where Frank is going with this, and we've had a great deal of success with this. So, Frank, you're up again. Go ahead and tell us.
Well, amen. You know, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God, to the pulling down of strongholds. We have a battle to fight, guys. God wants to heal that girl. He doesn't want her to die. God wants this guy caught. But we have to do our part down here to attack the stronghold so that the blessing can come through. Amen?
Amen.
Okay? So, and I could teach a whole Bible study on this if anybody wants me to, just let Chris know. But what we're going to do is unified prayer. I want 5 minutes of your time, folks, from 5 a.m. to 5:05 a.m. tomorrow morning. The American adversaries are going to get up, and we're going to pray for 5 solid minutes. That's all I want, but we're all going to pray for this that exact time, and we're going to pray that that bomber gets caught and this girl pulls through.
The girl that was shot at Great Mills High School today, a 16-year-old girl, is on an ICU unit, critical, life-threatening injuries, and then, of course, the Austin bomber. And we've done this on a number of occasions, and we've had a great deal of success. And we started it during the campaign for the president.
Hey, it worked.
And it did. And
glory to God, but we did our part too, right, Chris?
And that's what it's all about. And so, once again, tomorrow at 5 a.m., if you can get up just for 5 minutes, or maybe and pray that these people, that the bomber or bombers in Austin are apprehended, and that the girl pull through that was shot this morning in Great Mills High School. So I think it's an excellent idea, and it's a timely moment. So once again, we hope you folks will join us doing that tomorrow morning.
Man.
All right. Thanks,
awesome.
Frank. All right. Appreciate
Thank you,
it.
Chris.
All right. And every little bit helps, and prayer is a powerful, powerful,
powerful.
Tool.
Yeah.
And it's not used nearly enough, so we encourage it to be used. And once again, this has been very successful, so please help us with this power of prayer. All right, and so let's talk about what went on this past week at this wasn't actually a Trump officially event, was it?
No, 2 weeks ago we were down there for the first Florida fundraiser for the president down at Mar-a-Lago. This past weekend, most counties, we didn't do one here in Orange County last year, but most counties do a Lincoln Day dinner, and that's really like this annual celebration and fundraiser. Nobody does it better in the state of Florida than Palm Beach County. They did an excellent job. I see that Leland is calling in. You know, one of the advantages of our event this time is that Leland had helped us to rein in James O'Keefe. So we got to, you know, he stayed in our hotel. We drove him to the event. We hung out. But he was actually a bigger hit than Sarah Palin, who was the headliner for the event. But the event in general is about fellowship and camaraderie. It's just a wonderful opportunity to get fellow conservatives together and you know, continue to energize ourselves so we can move forward.
And I want to go to Leland's phone call and then Michelle, too, real quick in a second. But real quick, was it a one-day event? Just give
it
us
is.
A little
it's
feel.
It's a dinner. It's a nice dinner there at Mar-a-Lago.
But you know,
so you have this beautiful sunset around the pool. You know, you're sitting here, you know, the cocktails are flowing faster than I could drink them. That's that's not necessarily a good thing.
What did you learn?
Well, I had said I'm going to drink water in between each one. It's kind of hard when they keep filling your glass automatically.
Okay.
But the, you know, the Diamond and Silk were there. So had Adam Putnam, who is agriculture commissioner running for governor, and you also had the Speaker of the House. Corcoran was there.
Yeah.
And so it was just great. 750 people or so. Right there at Mar-a-Lago, we did see Don Jr. came down the stairs real briefly. You realize that earlier that day or the day before, he had just announced he was going to get divorced. So he came down, and a couple people did get pictures with him. But, you know, by the time we started sprinting towards him, he was already going upstairs. But it was just a remarkable event. There's nothing better than being in Palm Beach for events. They just do it really, really well down there.
Did many people from Orlando go down
there? Yeah, we had a large contingency. As a matter of fact, you know, at the last event, we were one of the top bundlers in the state of Florida for that event, and we had probably 15 or 20 people from Orlando that headed down for this particular event, so that was nice as well.
Is bundler synonymous with hustler?
Easy does it there, partner. All right, let's go to Leland, because Leland, he's talking about the Project Veritas, the fellow, right? James O'Keefe?
Yes, he is. Let me clarify one thing. It was the winter White House we were at.
Ah, that's right.
Very good.
That's right. That's what it's called.
And all I heard Randy was complaining that his glass was never empty.
It's so true.
So this was a great event. I had tried to get Jesse Waters. He said at an event we went to earlier, I guess it was the Lobster Fest or one of the events down there. No, that was the Restoration Project. Jesse had indicated an interest, and I had mentioned something to James O'Keefe, and so it was almost impossible to get through to Jesse, but James was a little easier. He still has some go-betweens because he's, you know, a little concerned about some things.
Right.
And but he followed through, and he felt a lot of love there, a lot of kudos to his work that he does, which is really currently a thankless job. But really what's interesting is that it used to be the way he – the journalism used to be the way he does it today, the real investigative,
right.
Get in there, get in the dirt. And so it's kind of ironic that, you know, he's catching the flack that he is when he's doing it the way it really used to be.
I know. Didn't they used to call journalists gumshoes or something like that? Because they would.
Investigative journalism.
Yeah. That because.
Gumshoe.
It's like a private eye. They in essence are like private eyes. They're going, going wherever it takes to get the story.
And back then it was well received and, you know, Pulitzer Prizes were granted and all kinds of stuff.
Yeah, because they were after guys like Richard Nixon instead of Donald Trump.
Major stories.
Yeah, well, when you talk to
James. Welcome to major stories.
Yeah. Well, tell James he can find a lot of loving on this show, too, if he ever wants to join us. By the way, tell folks who Leland also is.
Leland is the vice chair of the Trump 2020 Club. Behind the scenes, before when Steve Bannon was still good, I used to call Leland Steve Bannon. But when it comes to research, understanding, so I call him often and say, okay, please explain that to me. And he'll have to get the crayons out, and it'll take a little bit of time. But it does help me greatly to have someone I can rely on so heavily because he listens. He's kind of like the Mike McBath of the stock market.
Yeah.
That's what Leland is of the Trump processes, and often knows stuff even before I do. And I get a daily White House briefing, so I don't know how that happens.
Hey, very good. He's connected, buddy. Hey, Leland, were you on the Trump train early on?
When he came down the escalator, I actually posted on my Facebook page that he would most likely win and plow through the opponents that he had in the primary. And I never wavered and had to tell a lot of people, just hang in there, hang in there. So I was there when he actually came down the escalator, posted on Facebook, and from there I never wavered.
Hey, excellent. We were there, too. Yeah, Mike came up with the phrase Trumplican early on.
That's right. We were way out in front of
calling ourselves Trumplicans. That's right. Hey, Leland, I want you to hang on the line. Don't go away, but I want to bring in, we actually have two Michelles.
I think
on
it's the
line.
Same one. I think that she messed up. Michelle Nunnally.
All right, let's go to Michelle then. Michelle, thank you for calling.
All right. Hi there.
Hey, Michelle. Let me tell quickly who Michelle is.
All right, go ahead.
Okay, so back during the campaign, you have like what you call regular volunteers. We need all of them, right? Michelle's like this superwoman volunteer.
Oh, yeah.
And so she lives out in West Orange County. She wanted to do voter registration on her own. She wanted to do all these different things. So she was actually with us 2 weeks ago for the kind of pricey plate meal.
Right.
And I were like right in the front, like hooping and hollering for Trump to get his attention when he mentioned Orlando.
Right.
And then, of course, she was here this past weekend. So I thought it'd be interesting to have her call in and tell us what it was like from her perspective living here in Orlando, but heading down to the winter White House.
Michelle,
you're up.
Yes. Well, the first time we went.
Yeah. Go ahead, Michelle.
What was that?
It's Michelle. It's not Palm Beach, Michelle. Go ahead, Michelle.
So the first time we went down a couple weeks ago, Randy and I, like you were saying, we were in the very front row, and I was very fortunate. And Randy was there, and we're looking for the video. I was able to banter back and forth with the president.
Oh, cool.
Oh,
nice job.
He made a comment about illegals, and I said, build the wall. He looks and points at me, and he goes, we're building the wall. And then he was talking to his folks that were right in front of him and said, oh, these are my Palm Beach people. And I said, we're your Orlando people. And he shouts, he goes, I love Orlando. And he said something about Nancy Pelosi saying that we need to cut the grass to alleviate the illegals. And I yelled out, well, it's because she's smoking grass. And he turned to me, and he just started laughing.
We were kind of loud. We were kind of loud at that.
He seemed to appreciate it, though, it sounds like, right?
It was just like we were in his living room because we kind of were in his living room.
Really? Right.
Home. Yeah.
All right. Well, that's great. I want you to hang on the line, too, because evidently we do.
We have Michelle from Palm Beach. I was confused when I was looking at the monitor. All right. Michelle is another superhuman down in Palm Beach. And actually, she's one of our connections. When we go down there, she goes to Mar-a-Lago. She should probably get a room at Mar-a-Lago and just live there. But she was part of our wonderful experience, both events. But she's really kind of a staple down there when it comes to the energy and excitement that we get to experience. So I'm excited. Michelle, thanks for calling in. I appreciate it.
Yeah, go ahead. The second, well, Michelle.
Hi. Hello, everybody.
Well, hello.
Hello.
I have had the honor of being at Mar-a-Lago this past weekend. And I was able to see Don Trump Jr.
Oh, she did get. She's the one that got a selfie with him.
Oh, nice.
She got a selfie with him.
Yeah.
So she has a GPS. She has a GPS on it.
Yeah, the radar going.
Whenever a Trump comes in the room, I'm there. It doesn't matter. But yeah, so we were all amongst, out by the pool, and we were mingling. It was cocktail hour, and Don Trump Jr. just wowed the whole crowd. All the donors at Mar-a-Lago were shocked. He walked out to the pool, and we just scurried over next to him, and he was very pleasant. He spoke to a bunch of us. He took a bunch of selfies. He seemed to be in great spirits. It was a really nice surprise to have him make an appearance. We also were able to get some great photos and speak with Sarah Palin as well. She was very, very nice.
Yeah.
And we had a lot of great people at the event. I would say 700 people at least.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. At least that many people.
Leland, you wanted to say something?
I was just reiterating what she was saying and agreeing. Sarah Palin was there, Diamond Silk, and a quick shout out to my I had my two daughters there. One is 11-year-old Sophia and 22-year-old Ashley, and they had a blast.
Wow.
I think your daughter might have been the youngest one in the room. But it was great. It's, you know what we like about going down there is the energy and excitement, like I talk about, that they're able to somehow, and it certainly doesn't hurt that the president's, that's where his house is, right, the Winter White House, that he goes there. But they're great hosts down there in that part of the state. I say that no one does it better in the South than Palm Beach. So we really appreciate going down there and having a great time with those folks.
All right. If you don't mind, I'd like all y'all to stay on the line. We have to take a break. When we come back, we'll continue the conversation. We're also going to give out our contest challenge for Thursday.
Okay, hopefully, I'll understand it this time.
Yeah, and so get ready to take note of that. You are listening to the American Adversaries on a Trump 2020 Club Tuesday. This is made available and brought to you by Sutherland Nissan. They are great folks at Sutherland Nissan, U.S. Marine, and all of his troops over there, you might say, do their best to make sure that they don't attack you with high pressure and all that stuff, but they want to make the best deal they can make for you to get you in a brand new or pre-owned Nissan. And maybe check out those Titan trucks while you're over there, too.
They're the best.
Tell them the Titans of Talk Radio sent you. That's the American Adversaries. That's OrlandoNissan.com. Sutherland Nissan, located on the East Colonial Drive at Chickasaw Trail. Please try them out. Don't forget, when you take a test drive in a new car, you are eligible for a $25 gift card. Don't forget to ask for it. We'll be right back with more of the American Adversaries Drive Time Primetime Show.
FM 105.5, AM 660, The Answer.
Well, you've heard the horror stories. The couple comes home from shopping.
Oh, my gosh, there's water pouring out of the ceiling fan in the living room. Henry, quick, grab a bucket.
My new wood floors. They're ruined. Gosh, I wish we had this home inspected before we signed on the dotted line.
This is Aubrey Kahn of Firm Foundation Home Inspections. Buying a home is the biggest investment you'll make. You have to know what you're getting into. Henry and June now have a nightmare on their hands. Don't let that happen to you. Call Firm Foundation Home Inspections before you sign on the dotted line. We'll inspect the property from roof to foundation with the latest technology to know if there are any leaks or electrical problems. You'll get a detailed report, and at Firm Foundation, we warranty our work, ensuring your peace of mind.
Don't make that big investment without calling the home inspector that more realtors use. Firm Foundation Home Inspections. Call 321-624-0254 or go online to OrlandosHomeInspector.com.
We here at the American Adversaries Radio Network are blessed to have great sponsors like Jerry and Jana Shepherd, owners of Jerry's Mercedes-Benz Service Center. And if you have a Mercedes-Benz, you've been blessed to have them as your dealership alternative. With their professionalism and expertise and state-of-the-art technology and facilities, they provide the best of service at the best price. Now, if you have a BMW, you have the same opportunity to have that friendly and reliable and affordable alternative to your dealer. Just like Mercedes-Benz owners who have taken advantage of this option, you BMW owners have a real alternative to high dealer prices and impersonal service. Jerry's MB is located just off Alafaya Trail, just north of UCF. So take that BMW to Jerry's, where they treat you and your car like royalty. Visit them at jerrysmb.com or call 407-366-6499. That's 407-366-6499. Jerry's MB is a proud sponsor of the American Adversaries Radio Show.
Ever since I was a young boy, I played the silver ball. From Soho down to Brighton, I must have played them all. But I ain't seen nothing like him in any amusement hall. That deaf, dumb, and blind kid sure plays a mean pinball.
All right, welcome back to the show, ladies and gentlemen. And this is just one of our tunes dedicated to the president. He's able to do it. Everybody claims he's so stupid and everything, and yet he keeps pulling off these victories one after another. I want to kind of go around, though, because we're all about Trump 2020 Club here, and obviously Trump 2020 Club is to get the president reelected in 2020. But we got an election coming up this fall, all right, in 2018. And we need to keep the president in position where he can keep getting things done, which means we need more Republicans in the Senate, and we need to keep the House. I know that there's a lot of enthusiasm for the president, but are you seeing any enthusiasm on the ground for 2018?
It depends on which races that you're looking at. Certainly the governor's race, I think, is going to start getting heated. I think that, you know, I believe that the speaker will announce soon he's going to be in the race for governor, even though he's not polling as well as Adam Putnam or Ron DeSantis. I think if once they get a little bit more energized, I think it's going to start spilling down a little bit more into, like, even our mayoral race, which, by the way, is a very ironic situation. You have a Pinta. I always say his name wrong. He's probably listening. He's going to be upset with me, but Pinta Pintas, I believe is how you say it. But long story short is he is the Republican in a nonpartisan race running for mayor against Sheriff Demings. Right. But he got the
Orange County mayor.
Yeah, right. Orange County mayor. He got the police benevolence endorsement over Sheriff Demings. So I think that sends an interesting message that race is going to start getting a little bit more interesting. And, of course, you've got the Scott Sturgill versus Mike Miller, both Republicans vying for headed towards possibly Stephanie Murphy.
Right.
So it's all going to get there. It needs to start sooner than later because I've said for a long time our local races and the state race are boring. And I think that if we let boring go by, we're going to lose in counties where there are more Democrats than there are registered Republicans.
Okay, so, I want to ask our guests on the line now the same question. And are you feeling jazzed up about 2018? Let's go to the first Michelle we spoke to.
That's Michelle. There she is. That's her.
Okay, go ahead, Michelle.
Well, I do know in my district, in my area, we have Bobby Olszewski, that there was a special election, and now he's got to rerun and start all over. And we're already working on getting signatures to get him on the ballot. So I know my community in my area, we're already proactive
okay.
for our district.
All right.
To keep a Republican in office.
Let's go to the second Michelle, then Palm Beach down there. Michelle, go ahead.
Yeah. We're really doing a lot of things down here for Ron DeSantis, and he's been on Fox 5 News quite a bit. He seems to be groomed pretty well for that position. But we have a lot of events going on that have been promoting him. And then we have a bunch of signs, billboards that just went up the other day for the president. Keeping America Great is his new motto.
Yep.
So it's KAGG, and with an exclamation point at the end. Leland.
Right, that's right. You got to do the exclamation point with your finger, too.
I got called out on Facebook
you do that
by Leland
finger.
Today about that.
Is that right?
Yeah. I mean, I didn't realize how important it was.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
And the president
well, that's because Jude Snowden said you have to put an exclamation point.
Okay.
Yeah, that's new motto
and the president.
Now. So we have billboards along where the motorcade will bring him from West Palm Beach Airport right to his house here.
Nice.
In Palm Beach, so he'll see them, and it says they say thank you, President Trump,
Keep America Great, exclamation point, and they were put up by Ted Harvey,
okay,
the chairman of the committee to defend the president.
Excellent. Let me go to Leland with the same question. Now,
I got to say something about what I know Leland's going to say. He doesn't get into local races. That's what he's going to tell you.
But you're the Bannon guy. So what is your outlook as far as the fall goes?
Randy is speaking for me. I really have not focused much energy on local races. I'm focusing on Trump 2020. I know they tie in, but I'm energized for the 2020 race.
Okay.
And, you just have so much time in a week.
What is your prediction, Leland, though, as related to what's going to happen in 2018? Are we going to lose control or are we going to maintain control?
Well, typically we do in a midterm because the opposing or opposite party gets lazy. So I will do my best to contribute to help energize people to go out and vote. But, I think that's probably the number one thing we need to focus on is not to be that the Republican Party cannot be lazy. But I also want to say there's some Democrats that, are turning the tide as well. And I hope more of them do that as well. He brought in 20% of Democrats and independents for 2016. So it's the liberals that are causing the problem. There are some Democrats, but it's the liberals that are the problem.
All right.
And so I think we have to be very inclusive with a lot of people in 2018 and 2020.
All right. Okay, we're going to have to leave it there for tonight.
Thanks, guys, for calling in.
Yeah, we appreciate it. We'll have
Thank
to do
you.
This again. And if you want to stay on the line and hear our contest challenge for Thursday, you're eligible to get in on that too. So
I'm going to take notes on that.
All right, so, now, Randy, this is a little bit more worldly. Okay, now what we're going to try to do, we need to name the city and the country where Trump and Little Kim from North Korea need to get together on this big summit. We also need to name two consultants that Trump needs to take with him that could spark an interest from Little Kim, because this is very important, right? So you got a name too. Well, my first one, I'm going to take Stormy along. I think she'll gain Little Kim's interest, don't
I
you?
I bet.
My second person I would take would probably be Comey, because Trump will need, because he has to match Little Kim up north, right?
Right.
He'll need a professional liar who is a great storyteller. So I think those two could be dynamic on his team. And we're going to do it in San Francisco, because I think when Little Kim walks out of the meeting, goes out on the sidewalk, steps in some human feces and falls down, he'll think that he's
right at home.
That's exactly right. So
oh my God.
That's the
guy.
San Francisco, Stormy, and Coleman.
Wow.
So come up with your city and the name of your two people that you want as consultants.
That will, of course, be for Thursday's contest. Also, don't forget, please join the Trump 2020 Club on Facebook. You can be a follower on Facebook. You can be a formal member, and you'll get updates on a regular basis. And that's for only $20 a year. That's Trump 2020 Club on Facebook. Okay? And don't forget, Larry Elder is following us up. And this is a Trump 2020 Club Tuesday being brought to you by Sutherland Nissan. That's OrlandoNissan.com. Check them out. All right, we'll be back tomorrow night. Hope you'll be with us. Night, everybody.
That was fun.
FM 105.5 AM 660. The Answer. WO.